like to stand on two uneven places, so it's better to be on an even place. Yeah, so it's good to be back. And if I'm floating in the sky, you know, please give me grace. So I had a good time. It's a good time. And thank you for praying. I sensed your prayers for me, Pastor Brian, Marina, and Margaret. We were there. And we heard a lot. So I may preach the whole day today. Yeah, and it was very edifying and encouraging. And thank you for your obedience to the Lord. And so let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It's good to have the football player from Goa and his wife with us. Yeah, let's give them a warm welcome. And their daughter. Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We pray. Thank you for the music, the introduction, your word. Lord, we pray you would speak to us. We pray for those who are sick this morning. You would heal, Lord. We desire that you would minister to us. We desire that we would hear a word in season this morning, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Father, we pray. Minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme for the conference was Wisdom for Our Times, and it was based on Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5, where it says, there is a man who can discern wisdom and judgment. There is a time, there is a man who can discern wisdom and judgment. And that was the theme. And it was very interesting that as the theme was happening and as the convention was happening, we heard about Britain getting out of the EU as the convention was happening. And immediately, I think after the convention, there was a bomb blast in the Turkish airport and people died. And just yesterday or day before, a black ex-army person, he killed five white police officers in the U.S. And there has been this whole crisis in the U.S. between the African American and the white people, you know, because the police officers have been killing the black people, you know, while arresting them, because of various reasons. And we also see the whole Syrian refugee crisis. And one of the reasons why Britain came out of the EU was they wanted to control the amount of people who would come into the borders. immigrants. Are you understanding? So we are living in challenging times. And as we are living in challenging times and as things are changing, one of the things which crops up is fear. What is it? Fear. So immigrants in the UK, immediately their salary went down by 10%. The pound dropped in the stocks. So there was fear. There was like, and then there is uncertainty about the future. What is going to happen in the future? Now the United States goes for elections. Who's going to be the next president? What will be the future? What will be the future of our nation? And the other thing we saw, and this is really interesting, is changing laws. And that's there in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. When the Antichrist comes, he will what? He will change times and laws. One of the things he's going to do is change times and laws. So I was in a street in the US and I saw a bus. And on the bus was this beautiful ad. I think it was a bus. Go beyond, I don't know what the phrase was. It said, go beyond blue or pink. Right? Go beyond blue or pink. Like it's what you decide. So blue represents men, the favorite color of men. And pink represents women. So now they have come up with this new legislation in some states in the US where this is how it is. Okay? Yeah, it's about the bathroom. Yeah? So we have a men's bathroom and a woman's bathroom here. Right? So depending on how you feel today. So if you're a guy and you feel like you're female, you can go to the female bathroom. And if you're male and if you're female and you feel like a male today, you can go to the men's bathroom. Are you understanding? Can you imagine what is happening in the world? Yeah. It's like, it's unbelievable. Right? Where simple issues of gender are being questioned. And this is Satan's strategy to bring in confusion into the world. And to bring in disharmony into the world. Are we understanding? And there's a whole legislation and a whole nationwide debate on this subject. Are we understanding? So it's very interesting that as we are living in the challenging times, we see this. And this is really important. Man is looking for answers today. And man is looking for solutions. And it's very interesting, and I find it really interesting, that the United States has the greatest kind of security. Like when you enter in, they take your biometrics, they check your, take a photograph of your eyes, the kind of security which is there, right? Surveillance, data, all kinds of stuff. And this security is there in the whole world. And yet, somehow, these killings cannot be stopped. Are we understanding? The racial tension cannot be stopped. ISIS problem cannot be stopped, right? Why? Because the solution is in the Bible. The solution for the world's problems are in the, where is it? In the Bible. And God reveals it to us in the Bible. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. This is what the Bible is saying. What is the Bible saying? That man did not come into existence on his own. It was not evolution or Big Bang. That God created man. And God has created the whole universe. God is in charge of the seasons. And today if it's like a cold day, God is in control of it. It is not us. So when man looks to another man for his solution, it's trying to find a solution in the wrong place. Because the solution is in God. The solution is in God. So Colossians 1, 16 and 17 talks about Jesus as creator. But then it says in verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now has he reconciled in the body of his death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If you also read verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, this is the solution. And this talks about Jesus being the source of everything. He is the creator, but Jesus is also the savior. Right? And what did Jesus do? He came to the world, he became a man, and he died on the cross. And in contrast to what Pastor Guru said, this king who offered his son, that sacrifice was not acceptable. But when God the Father offered his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, that sacrifice was acceptable. And because of that sacrifice, we have found favor with God. Isn't that beautiful? And the moment you believed, what is it? The moment you believe, one decision to believe in Jesus as your Savior. Right? What did it do? It gave you the complete forgiveness of sins and it secured heaven forever. Isn't that beautiful? That is the foolishness of preaching. Somebody comes, talks to you for a minute or gives you a little track and you believe and you are saved forever. How many years does it take to study? From KG to graduation to MBA, how many years does it take to buy a house? Let's assume you take it on loan. How many years are you paying it back? Maybe while you retire, you know? Correct? But how much time does it take to get salvation? What? It is what? A moment. And Pastor Brand said this, the whole world, if they are aware of God, is working to get in moksha. We, what are we? The starting point is we are already in. Isn't that beautiful? That is wisdom. That is wisdom. Wisdom is not knowing all about the computer. Wisdom is knowing how to put it on first. Right? Today people are finding out everything about God. You know, God is saying, no, simple. Listen to the gospel. Believe in my Savior. You don't need to know everything. First you enter in. And it's all by pure grace. Guess what? It didn't happen through internet. God didn't say, make an account, right? Take this link. I will send you another link. Then you do a download. And then if the download is successful, you are saved. No. Right? Through the foolishness of preaching. Not through technology, not through wealth, not through the United Nations, not through the coalition of nations or the EU or a powerful president or, you know, presidential alliances among the world. But what is it? By simple faith in Jesus as our Lord. This is important. Is that good? Is that cool? I think that's extremely cool. Right? And guess what? There's no undo button. There's no delete. There's no undo. Even if you feel I want to turn around and go to hell, you can't. If you think your life is hell, you will still end up in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Bible says. So Jesus is the source. The source of everything. He is in control of everything. Jesus is also in control of Satan. Even though Satan did this elaborate arrangement, God did not throw him out. God is still in the sphere of God. He is prince of the power of the air, but God is still king over him. Isn't that beautiful? I think that's extremely beautiful. Now next, we come to, and this is really important in our lives, Jesus is the supply. You know, one of the things in the Christian life is like, let's assume this is salvation and now God gives it to me. Now, you know, I shake hands with God and say thank you. And I'm not living my life now. I have it now. I live. You know, I can handle my life. That's the number one mistake we all make as Christians. That, okay, I'm saved and now I can handle my life. Are you understanding? I'm going to heaven, I can handle my life. See, the key is this. That the like we eat food on a daily basis, in the same way we need spiritual food on a daily basis. And one of the remas which came to me, though I know the verse, is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by singing. Faith doesn't come by praying. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The key to our lives is to be at a place where you are constantly receiving. Don't worry about how your life is, whether you are struggling with a particular sin or not, whether your life is perfect or not, whether everything is okay in your life. It doesn't matter. You just come and you just keep hearing the word of God. What is it? You keep hearing the word of God. You just keep hearing. So what does it mean to be a Christian? What it means to be a Christian is when we come here in this hall and in this church and we are saved, we are totally occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity and who he is. We are not occupied with one another. We are not thinking about people. We are not thinking about our sins or somebody else's sin. That is not even the issue. So if you come here and you are people oriented, then you've missed out the whole point of being a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Where we are coming and worshiping and receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you continuously receive, and you continuously receive, and you continuously receive. What is it? Keep on receiving. In the car, put on a message. Right? You know, in the US, they have Christian radio. And I tell all those Americans, you guys don't know how blessed you are. You put on the car, there's Christian music 24 hours, messages 24 hours. You know? So, you know, keep hearing the word of God. You know, every morning, read the Bible. Hear God. What is it? Hear God. Because we are constantly hearing everything else. Facebook alerts, WhatsApp notification. You know, what happened here? Somebody is having coffee somewhere, he will put the notification. Right? I'm with so-and-so girl here, notification. We don't need to hear that. You know, I went for this holiday photograph. We don't need, it's okay. It's okay. Right? Or terrorism or this, you know, it is creating an effect on us. So what am I hearing? So what you eat determines your physical health. But what you hear determines your spiritual health. Is that clear? What are we hearing? Are we hearing gossip and slander and negativity all the time? Or are we hearing what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Jesus is my supply. And guess what? No matter what happens in the world, his supply can never dry out. There can be a financial problem in the world. There can be a shortage of oil in the world. Or any kind of problem. You can lose a job. But the supply of God can never stop. In John chapter 7, 37 to 39, he says, if you believe in me, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he was prophetically talking about the Holy Spirit. Because who would be given? Because he was not yet glorified, the Holy Spirit was not yet given. But now he has been given unto us. But this is the mistake we make. The mistake we make is, we make our own cisterns in Jeremiah 2:13. A cistern in the Old Testament was they would make a hole, like in the rock, and water was preserved. And then they would close the rock with a lid. Because water was a scarce resource. They would hide the water. Are you understanding? Jeremiah 2:13, the Bible says, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns which can hold no water. So when we live in self, when we live by sight, when we live by sight and feelings, when we live in self-preservation, what happens? We are not in a place where we can receive the supply of God. We are not in a place where we can receive the supply of God. In Exodus 16, the manna fell every day. But you know what the principle was? Every day the person had to go out of the tent and pick the manna for him and his family. On the sixth day he had to pick for 2 days. God never gave the manna like 1 year supply or 1 week. No, every day. The Bible says in Exodus 16, the last verses, that the manna fell for 40 years until they entered the promised land. And that is the principle where the supply of God is there on a daily basis till we see the Lord face to face. And one day when we see the Lord face to face, He will be the supply. In the sense, there will not be the need for the sun, because the Lamb is the sun. There will not be need for anything, because He is the supply. Isn't that beautiful? So, be at a place where constantly receiving, hearing the word of God. And I would encourage each one of us, if you are able to, in some way, please consider Bible college. Please consider it. It doesn't matter how much you know about the Bible. You just come, you sit, you listen, you listen, you listen, you listen. Someday it will make sense. Is that clear? Even if you don't know English, you come and you keep listening and you keep listening. It's all about hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now this is important today. When you look at the subject of wisdom, and let's turn to Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. Are you awake this morning? Yes, okay. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 10. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Right? This is one of the verses and which was shared in the conference. One of the verses which is also a good definition on what is wisdom. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Now how many of you have tried to cut vegetables, or maybe how many of you have tried to cut beef with a blunt knife? Right? It's a lot of effort, right? So when you go to the, where beef is sold, mutton is sold, what are they? They're constantly sharpening their knives. Constantly, right? Right? It has to have a sharp edge. And I thought about this verse, and I really thought, because I always believe in working hard. Working hard is an ethic, a value for me. It's also in the Bible. And I was just thinking, let's assume we are working hard. What is it? We are working hard. I'm working hard at my job. Right? Say my work and business. But no money is coming in. I'm working hard in my marriage. I'm doing everything right. But somehow it's just not working out. I'm working hard for my kids. But somehow they're never happy. Right? I'm working hard in the ministry. And somehow we don't see fruit. And there's no satisfaction. Right? So what is it? What is it? Now this is important. It is not about working hard. Working hard is good. But it is about having the wisdom of God as I work hard. It is about having what? The wisdom of God. And when I have the wisdom of God, it's like this. Imagine I'm with the axe and there's a tree and I'm trying to cut it. And the whole day I've tried to hit. I'm sweating out. And nothing has happened. And God comes to me and says what? What does he say? Just sharpen the edge. Right? What? Just sharpen the edge. And I take a few minutes, I sharpen the edge, and I cut, And in a few minutes the tree is what? Cut. Right? I'm working hard. And I go to God and I say, Lord, this business is not happening, work is not happening. And God says, sharpen the edge. I don't want you to do this job. I don't want you to do this business. Why don't you do this one? No, God, this is what I want to do. What is it? Sharpen the in the marriage. I'm doing everything right. And if I'm a wife, God says, you're doing everything right. But you're not submitting. You're not being respectful. What is it? Sharpen the edge. As a husband, I'm doing everything right. I'm getting the money. I'm providing for everything. But you're not being an example. You're not laying down your life. You're not being humble and a servant. What happens? Sharpen the edge. An event happened in my life. Somebody died. I lost a parent, or I lost a spouse, or I lost a family member, and I just can't get over it. And what does God say? Sharpen the edge. Old things have gone. Behold, all things have become new. Are you understanding? Right? I'm a Bible college student, and I'm studying the word, and the word of God has become like a heavy burden on my head. Assignments, this, that. And God is saying, sharpen the edge. You are studying the word, but maybe you are studying it to show off. Maybe you are studying to show others how much you know. But the word you are studying is not, you know, producing in you a broken and a contriteness. It's not making you know me. It sharpened the edge. Maybe, you know, I have sinned and I'm away from God. And I'm giving all the reasons. You know, so-and-so is to be blamed. So-and-so is to be blamed. Pastor has to be blamed. This one is to be blamed. Everybody has to be blamed. And God is saying simply what? Sharpen the edge. What is it? Confess. So simple, yeah. Just confess. Just say, I'm wrong. You are right, Lord. And you're back with me. Right? Or maybe I'm in a particular kind of sin and I just can't get over it. And God is saying it's very simple. Repent. Change your mind. Repentance is not feeling. Change your mind. Make a decision about it. It is wrong. Tell us, say it is wrong and confess to me it is wrong and come back to me. And guess what? You know what we have? We have the wisdom of God. Isn't that beautiful? What is it? It's not about working hard, and working hard is important. But it is about having what? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God cannot happen unless I hear the word of God and I receive it. In Jeremiah 8, 19 and 20, God says about the scribes, they say they have wisdom. But how can they have wisdom if they have rejected my word? Now this is really important for us to understand. If you come here, there is a high probability, all of us, including me, that we could be offended. Very high probability. And not by a person, but by the what? Word of God. What is it? The word of God. And because we can't see God, we can't fight against God. You know whom you take out the frustration against? Today if we get offended, you'll take the frustration against me. When John the Baptist said, you can't have her, she's your brother's wife. What did they take off? They took off his head. Cut the head, voice won't come out. But what was John the Baptist saying? He was talking the word of God. He was not talking something personal. He was talking the word of God. And it is highly probable that when the word of God comes, we could get what? Offended. But in the offense is the wisdom of God. Now this is really important for us to understand that we need to ask God for wisdom. You know, the Christian life is full of challenges, full of ups and downs. And sometimes those ups and downs are because of our wrong decisions, or sometimes those ups and downs are because God allows it in His perfect plan. But God says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, you ask of me, and I will give you liberally. In James 1, if you see, the context is tremendous trials. So the wisdom is how to live and in the trial. Okay, I'm in a trial. I don't want the trials. Naturally speaking, our prayer is, God, take away the trial. But sometimes God says, no, I want you to be in the trial. So the prayer has to be, okay, Lord, What are you teaching me in this trial? What are you teaching me about you in this trial? And what are you going to do to me through this trial? Isn't that beautiful? And that is what, that is asking God for wisdom. So Solomon is a young man in 1 Kings 3. He doesn't know. So God says, okay, ask what you want. And what does he say? Lord, I don't know how to rule this nation. Give me wisdom. And then you see the two women come fighting over the child. The two harlots come. And he gives his judgment. Correct? And then everybody saw that the wisdom of God was in Solomon. He asked for it. See, we cannot live the Christian life where God, you are there, you be happy, I am here, I am happy, I am okay, you are okay. It cannot be that way. It cannot be. The Christian life is one of engagement. Where I am like, God, I may shout, I may scream, I may worship, I confess, I ask, I fall down, I get up, I go. I receive mercy. I go. That's how it is. Because it's about God and it's not about another human being. So asking God for wisdom. Now this is important, really important. Very important. Jesus is the satisfaction. One of the remas which came to me in the conference, like rema as in like God speaking to me in the conference was, is Jesus is the satisfaction. We must be convinced today that nothing in our life can satisfy us except the Lord Jesus Christ. A good job cannot satisfy you. Earning more money cannot satisfy you. Having, owning a beautiful home or car or whatever motorcycle cannot satisfy you. Right? Having the best girlfriend / boyfriend cannot satisfy you. Having children cannot satisfy you. Right? Only the Lord can satisfy you. No material thing can satisfy you. Now when you understand that the Lord is the satisfaction, then we understand everything comes from His hand. And then everything else is a compliment. My wife is a compliment unto me. My child is a compliment. It's a blessing. It doesn't belong to me. My church is a compliment. And sometimes, and this is we were discussing in the pastor's meeting, when there are problems, how to deal with problems in the church, right? When there are problem with a person, problem with the pastor, how to deal. And then we went back and forth. And then Pastor Shala made this brilliant statement that sometimes God allows the problems. And He allows something deficient He'll allow. He'll have some deficiency in your marriage. He will allow some deficiency in the church. Some deficiency. To prove to us that only He is the fulfillment. That only He is the satisfaction. So if you and I, we make the man of God as God, we are what? Wrong. The man of God is a sinner saved by grace. People in the church are sinners saved by grace. We are all beautiful sinners saved by grace. And only God is the satisfaction. So, don't look for satisfaction in the wrong place. Don't look for it in the wrong place. Look at it in what? Jesus Christ. And He is your possession. He is not going to be a future possession. He is already your possession. He is, the Spirit of God is in our hearts. Commune with Him. Communicate with Him, pray to Him, talk to Him, pray, meditate, listen to His word, right? That's what it is. Now this is really important today, when we understand that Jesus is the satisfaction, that what is the purpose of our lives? God is raising us up as men and women to be people of wisdom in the sphere of places where He has placed us. Which means, the only Jesus which somebody can see and the only Bible which somebody can read is your life. So if you're working in a company, if you're working in some kind of a profession, the people around you are unsafe. For them, you are the only Jesus they can see and you are the only Bible they can read. Right? And so God raised up people in the Bible. God raised up a Joseph in Genesis 41. He's in the jail. Then Somebody says, yeah, he interpreted the dream, he is brought before Pharaoh. He says, God will give the answer. And then he interprets Pharaoh, he tells Pharaoh what the dream is, he interprets the dream. And what did Pharaoh say in Genesis 41, 38 and 39? Can we find a man as wise and discerning as him? And he becomes what? Second in charge in Egypt. Right? God raised him up. God raised up a Daniel in captivity. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and nobody can interpret it. And Daniel, God gives him what the dream is and the interpretation. Isn't that beautiful? Right? We have Paul in 2 Peter 3:15. He was filled with wisdom. In Acts 27, he's on a boat. They have lost all hope. They are like almost going to be shipwrecked. And then Paul says, you know, I've heard God. Nothing is going to happen. And all the lives are saved. What is that? Wisdom. But this is the greater. What is the greatest wisdom? The greatest wisdom is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest wisdom. When you and I, when we go out on the street, or when we meet a friend, or a family member, or a relative, and we share the gospel, and when people believe in Christ as their Savior, what is that? That is the greatest wisdom, right? Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. So, in closing today, this is what I want to say to you. The Christian life is one of being totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? Being totally dependent, right? It doesn't mean that we don't have strength or we don't have abilities or common sense, but it just means that we are totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we say, we are totally what? Dependent. Then, secondly, in the Christian life, be totally available. What is it? Totally available. Now, one of the things which I often see, and this is true in every born-again church. So, because I've traveled and I've talked to people and I've been a man of God, so is that people are looking for positions to serve. What are they looking for? Position. I need a position in the church. Elder, assistant pastor, leader, etc., etc. Correct? But in the Bible, what does the Bible say? Unless you are the servant of all, you can't be the leader of all. Now, if you have this problem with position, wanting a position in the church, I would encourage you to go to the United States of America for a visit. Because when you go to the United States of America, the whole system in America is what's very simple, self-service. You are your own servant. You go to the counter, you buy a coffee. When you buy a coffee, generally what they do is, they'll give you a cup. If you're buying tea, they'll give you an empty cup. You go to the hot water, you fill it, you put your tea bag, you put your milk, you put your sugar, you drink it. If you buy a coffee, they'll fill the black coffee and everything else. So what happens? In America, the whole system is, you have to be a servant. Right? You have to be a servant. There's no here, hey, tambi, you know. All that is not there. Right? You know, all that is not there. You have to be a servant. Everywhere you got to be a servant. You know, in the airport you carry your own bag. There's no coolie system. There's nothing. You have to be a what? Servant. So, this is very important. Is if you want to serve God, just be available. Just be available. In whatever capacity. You know, you don't need a title to serve God. This is the wrong thinking we have. We think we need a title and we need a position in the church to serve. You just start serving God. In whatever God, you know, motivates you, just start serving God. Just be available. And God will open up opportunities. Isn't that beautiful? He will open up opportunities. It is possible for me to have a title and not have the heart of a servant. And it is possible for somebody to not have the title and have the heart of the servant. And that person glorifies God. Is that clear? And the third thing, and this is the last principle, is we must learn to live by faith. We must learn as a people to live by faith, not in an emotional faith, not in I feel faith, but in a faith which says it is what? Written. Right? It is what? Written. So live by faith, even when you don't feel like it. Live by faith on a daily basis. Today is a cold day, today is a gray day. Instead of saying, oh, it's cold and people are sick and feverish, how about saying, man, we had a hot summer and we fried 40 degrees and now God is, you know, giving us cool AC. Wow, right? It's all about perspective, right? So live by what? Faith. Live by faith. So in closing today, let's think about this. I want us to think about this subject of, am I living a way in which I tell God, I call the shots. What is it? I call the shot. Jesus is my Lord, but I am the Lord's CEO. Right? Lord, we got to do this. Lord, this should happen. Or is it like I'm in a place where, okay, God, I'm your son. I want to hear from you. Are you understanding? It's very subtle, but yet it is very profound. Nobody can see it, only God sees it. What is my attitude? Right? And when I have an attitude of humility and an attitude of faith, you know what? We will have the joy of the Lord. Joy in unpleasant circumstances. We will have a peace that passes what? Understanding. We will have a love which flows out of our hearts. And we will have a word in season. You know, God is training you up. Don't think you're a young person. Daniel and the three boys were young boys, and God raised them up. David was a young boy and God raised him up. Samuel was a young boy. God raised him up. Joseph was 17 years old and God raised him up. So don't think because I'm young. No. Draw close to God. Get the word in. Right? God is raising us up to touch this world. Amen? And you know what? We don't have to live in fear. Because what is the promise for us? End times is the rapture. Right? We don't have to worry about who is going to kill us, what is going to happen. You know, do not worry about him who is able to kill the body, Matthew 10:28. But fear him, God the Father, who is able to put body and soul in hell. But that can never happen to us because we are saved. So we are not afraid of death. Right? Our heaven is our home. Jesus Christ is coming for us. We don't know what time. The Bible says he will come at a time when you don't expect. When you don't expect. Like maybe you're getting married and you're enjoying the party and Jesus says, time to go. And Lord, please. You know, when you don't expect. You know, when you don't expect. Right? Like, you know, in a hard time you may say, okay, Lord, please come soon. But when you're having a good time and you're enjoying the blessings of God, God can come and say, it's time to go. So let's be encouraged today and let's, what? Encourage one another. What is it? In the Lord. Right? God desires. This wisdom is with him and he wants to give it to us on a daily basis. The ability to discern what is of God, what is not of God. The ability to make the right decisions. The ability to rebound. So I want to encourage each one of us, irrespective of who thinks what about you. You may have failed. You may not be doing well. It's okay. God doesn't think that of you. Are you understanding? And a decision to rebound is just what? It's a decision. Just sharpen the axe. Get back. Let's go forward with God. Forget about what happened yesterday. Or the last 3 weeks. Last 3 months. Maybe the last year. Forget about it. Let's go what? Forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We are unworthy to be saved. We are unworthy to have the complete Bible and unworthy to be in the age of grace and be sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are unworthy, Lord. But you have made us worthy, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for men of God, you've given over our lives. Thank you for Pastor Brian and Marina and Jillian here. Thank you for Pastor Shala and Pastor Shabelli and all the pastors in the United States. Thank you for the late Pastor Stevens and his investment. And thank you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. Begins with you. It continues with you. and it ends with you, that you may be all in all. Give us this understanding, Lord, to understand that nothing in our lives can satisfy us like the way you do, Lord. Help us to find our satisfaction in you, our hope in you, our joy in you, our purpose in you, and you alone, Lord. Yes, Lord, use us, Lord, we pray, each one of us. I pray for those of us who struggle in our faith, maybe in unbelief, maybe bitterness, maybe negativity, whatever, Lord. You know all things, Lord, and you can treat all things, and nothing is impossible with you, Lord. And we pray you would draw us back to you in a brand new way, in a fresh new way, to go after you, Lord, to walk with you, and to be salt and light in this world. We thank you, Lord. We pray for our nation, the nation of India. We pray for our Prime Minister, Mr. Modi. You would save him. You would save our country, Lord. Muslims and Hindus and Sikh and Jain, Lord, and so many people, Parsis, Lord, you would save, Lord, I pray. Yes, God, have mercy on our land, we pray. Lord, use each one of us, Lord. Bless the meditation of our hearts, we pray, God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you, God. Bless each person here today, we pray. Those who are sick, I pray you would heal, Father, I pray. Pray for Esther, Lord. You would give her a healthy baby, we pray, Lord. Here, and yes, God, thank you. We praise you, Father. Be with Pastor and Marina in the U.S. and Margaret there, and also Chris and Jillian. You would give them a great time as they go to the conference in Sweden, Finland, Lord, I pray. You would provide for their needs. And thank you for being our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're ready for the closing song? Ready? Okay. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Just a thought I had, and I had a memory was given to our students in the school, and I did not know if that verse was very profound, because these kids started reminding me this, and I said, okay, why are they telling? Is God speaking through the mouths of these little kids wisdom? And I was just listening to Pastor Guru and Pastor Anil, and it really, really, again, this thing just came right back, you know, and it'll just tell it to you. It's in Psalm 9 verse 10. It's a great verse. It says, they that know thy name will put their trust in you. They that know thy name. And I was like really blessed by the messages. They that know thy name will put their trust in you. Think about that. So what is the one purpose of God revealing to us his word? Based on this verse, the one purpose of God in revealing to us his nature and character, his word, his doctrine, is to perfect our dependence on him. Think about this. And then it says, they that seek you will never be forsaken. So God makes known to us all the more the Bible, right? We come here, we hear the word. And I think it was phenomenal what we heard this morning. It was wisdom from above. So that, not so that now that we know it, it's like, okay, I know it. No, what the big deal? No, it's not that. It's to make us all the more dependent. And now, this is also the reason for power that God's people would have. If we look at the lives of Joshua and Caleb, we see them making statements in Numbers 13, Numbers 14. We can go, God is with us, their power is gone from them, they are bred for our journey, let's go possess the land. Right, again in the book of Joshua, Caleb is 80 years old and he's telling, give me that mountain because Moses promised I'm going to take it. But what was the reason for this power in Joshua and Caleb? And what was the reason for powerlessness in the other Israelites? It had to do with what they did with what they heard. Right? They heard, as just like Joshua and Caleb, they also heard the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances. They heard everything. But they thought, okay, because we know it now, what next? Who are you, Moses? I can choose my own life. And it says in Deuteronomy 1 verse 27, instead of meditating on the word, they murmured in their tents. Interesting, isn't it? I can choose to meditate on the word that I've heard, or I choose to murmur in my tents. But then on the other hand, what was happening to Joshua and Caleb? Their trust in God or their dependence on God was being perfected. And that was also the, so on the one hand, in their hearts, they are like, yes, God, it's you. It's not about me, it's about you. And it's teach me to trust you on a daily basis and walk by that simple faith that you've given me as a gift. And as a result of which, they were seen to be people who had power. They were seen to be people, it says in Leviticus 26, right, a 5 shall chase a 100, right? And 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. And we are going to be those people who are going to lead, jump over a wall, leap, and really make an impact. And I think this message was a phenomenal in the sense that God is teaching us all the more in our hearts to be perfected. Sometimes the tendency in Christianity is, oh, now that I know, what more? You know, sometimes people make confession, I come to the church just to know doctrine. Okay, just for, okay, great. But what will that produce in you as a result of that? What will it produce in you as a result of hearing the doctrine? Not a spirit of independence, but a spirit of total dependence the more we get to hear. And that is the real purpose. As we are perfected in our dependence, in the same proportion will be the kind of power that we can have with God as well as with people to really make an impact. Weak people, but not powerless. We are 5 of us, just you know, if you can group yourself into 5, we chase 100. That's the power that God has given us. And 100 can put 10,000 to flight. And we recover dominion over Satan, which has been subdued by darkness. We recover that dominion through the manifestation of the life of Jesus Christ through the body of Christ. Right? So thank God for what we heard. And you know, it's really, really that way. God, you know, when we are weak, we know we have to be dependent. But the Bible says we have to also guard our areas of strength, because the knowledge can produce a kind of a strength which, if it is not checked on, can produce a spirit of independence. But this knowledge is only for the purpose of perfecting us in our dependence on Him. Amen. So those that know thy name, so we are being perfected constantly in our dependence on Him, so that we can have really power with God and with people. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your visitation. Thank you for the grace that surrounds us on every side. And thank you that, as it says in Isaiah 66, to this man will I look, the one who trembles at my word. And thank you that you're teaching us, or you're weakening us, so to speak, so that our dependence would be on you for the real kind of power that needs to be manifested that makes a difference. We thank you, we praise you, bless the remainder of our day. Thank you for each one that is there. Bless them with a double portion today, God. The fellowship, the everything that you give them, God. Just this body, we just really just visit us in an amazing way. And may we sense the goodness of God toward us. As the psalmist said, I want to see the goodness of God in the land of living. You've not called us to the congregation of the dead, not into the fields of the fatherless, but into the land of uprightness and in the land of the living. Amen. So Father, we thank you, we praise you. And if there's anybody here who has not received Christ as your Savior, if there's anybody here, just raise your hand up and say, Dear Lord, I welcome you into my heart. Be my Savior. As Pastor Anil shared, Christ died, He shed His blood, He was buried, and that becomes our very starting point. We are not arriving at that, but we start from there. If anybody here is not yet convinced of, or not yet convinced they are a believer or not, make that, you can make that decision right now. It's never too late, and it's never too early. Father, we thank you, we praise you, thank you for this beautiful morning, and bless our fellowship to follow. And the evening service at 6:30. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen, amen. Okay, you are dismissed.